Well, we're back in Hull City Centre and we're praying and hoping for sinners to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We are unaware of the hardness of people's hearts, but we're also aware of the infinite power of Almighty God to arise and to save sinners when He chooses. Our prayer for the city is that God would awaken the city, that God would turn the hearts of multitudes here back to Himself, so that those scenes we've read about in church history, such as at Kilsyth, or under the ministry of David Brainerd, or other times in church history when people flocked to hear the word of God because they had souls and they were hungry for the salvation of God, they were aware that they had souls, they were aware that they were not right with God. We pray that that would happen again. So with God's help and God's strength alone, by grace alone, it's my heart's desire to preach the gospel today. Father, bless this preaching, this time. How weak the preacher feels, but how mighty You are. Father, I pray that You'd help me. I pray that the gospel of Jesus Christ will be fully, powerfully and faithfully preached. Oh Lord, strengthen me by Your word. Fill me with Your spirit. Use me for Your glory. Have mercy upon those sinners who are here, Lord. Have mercy, Lord, and turn the tide in the city of Hull. Pour out Your spirit on this city and come down in saving power, we pray. And this we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I don't know what that shouting is. Well, good afternoon. It's a privilege to be here. I'm here to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to declare that there is salvation in no other name but in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Saviour of the world, the only one who can deliver us from the wrath to come, the only one who can save us from hell, fire and damnation. I'm going to read one verse from the Bible today, and that verse is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, and verse 41. The picture is given of Jesus Christ at the end of the age, seated on the throne of heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ seated on the throne of heaven in glory. And the Lord Jesus Christ will judge us all.
Ruins, so it's all right. Ruins, right near Flair on Thursday.
That one said, you need to go to God through Jesus Christ. So you talk to Jesus Christ. Okay, well, you need to read your Bible then and see that for yourself, sir. So, because if you go to Jesus, you'll find the Lord Jesus Christ. My prayer for you is that you would find Him.
All right.
That you'd find the Lord Jesus. Father, have mercy upon this man sitting on the bike in front of me. And I pray, Father, that You would open his eyes and fill his heart with Your Holy Spirit and the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the knowledge of His salvation. Have mercy upon these, Father. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. That's all I can do for you. But listen, read the Bible. Yes, God bless you, sir. Unexpected events, but I hope I prayed correctly. We're so much longing to see these people saved, and at the same time, me writing down a prayer and giving it to him isn't going to help him. Well, it would if he reads it and I write the right prayer. It would be instructive, but that's not a prayer that I must pray. It's what he must pray, and I pray that he would find the Lord Jesus for himself. I don't have a pen and paper on me. I wish I could do more. I sometimes feel so absolutely unsure of myself, unsure how to respond to people, unsure what to say. I'm here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I pray that my doctrine will be sound, that my focus will be fully on Jesus Christ, and that I will bring honour and glory to the Lord Jesus. So have mercy, Father, on those, I pray. Now the skateboard is going past. Funny day. So I want to read one verse from the Bible, which is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25 and verse 41. And the picture is Jesus Christ is in heaven on the throne of glory, and everybody is there before the throne of God. Everyone is resurrected, but there are those who are resurrected to everlasting life and those who are resurrected to everlasting torment in hell fire. Those he calls sheep who are on his right hand. Those he calls goats who are on his left hand. A young woman videoing me, so I pray that this message will go into her camera, be taken to her friends. Those he calls sheep on his right hand, those he calls goats on his left hand. And this is what he says to the goats in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25 and verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And he will say that to people. He will say that to people who in Hull today are living their lives without God, without any thought of God, without any desire for God, without any concern for their souls, without any understanding of eternity. Jesus Christ will one day say to them, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Because there's a wrath to come and a judgment to come. And we live in a day when people don't have any concern at all for their souls. Jesus said, What would you give in exchange for your soul? He said, What would it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? You could gain the whole world. You could be the richest person in the world. You could own the most land in the world. You could be the most powerful person in the world. You could be the most famous person in the world and lose your soul. And all of those things cannot be compared to the value of your soul. Because even if you had all of those things, you will lose them all. And Jesus will say to you, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. There is a wrath to come and a judgment to come. And the only person who can deliver us is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the coming judge of us all. And the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost, to save sinners like you and I, people who are lost and damned and ruined on account of our sins. And the Bible says, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Very easy to go along with the spirit of the age. We think Christianity is dead, that it's no longer relevant. This is Christianity. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is Christianity. Preach the gospel to all nations. This is Christianity. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is Christianity. This is as relevant today as it was in the days when the Lord Jesus walked the earth. This is as relevant today as it has ever been. It will always be relevant until the end of the age. Because Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Because Jesus Christ is the one who gives life eternal. Because Jesus Christ is the one who can save us from our sins and deliver us from the wrath to come. Now make no mistake, Jesus Christ today is seated on the throne of heaven at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus Christ is God. He is the eternal God. He is the uncreated God, the God who made all things. And because he is the eternal God, and all the glory and majesty and dominion and honor and power belongs to God, and because he is altogether righteous, and because the holiness that belongs to God alone belongs to Jesus Christ, because of that, my friends, he is also fit to be our judge. And he will judge us according to the word of God. And he will judge us according to the law of God. You see, God knows every one of us through and through. And he says that we have sinned and fall short of his glory. He says there is none righteous, no, not one. He says that we have altogether become corrupt. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way. And then speaking of Jesus Christ, Isaiah 53 says, And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now Jesus Christ is worthy to be the judge because he is the eternal God. But Jesus Christ is worthy to be the judge because he is also the one who came into the world. And he was tempted, he was hungry, he was thirsty, he was tempted by Satan. But the Lord Jesus never sinned and never broke the commandments of Almighty God. He was perfect, he was pure, he was holy. Jesus never told a lie. Jesus never swore. Jesus never lusted. Jesus never coveted. Jesus always loved his Father in heaven with perfect love, infinite love. The Lord Jesus Christ loved the Father in heaven with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, and with all his strength. And the Bible shows us that Jesus didn't have to die, and he didn't have to go to the cross of Calvary, because the wages of sin is death. Nobody could take Jesus' life from him. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, went freely and willingly to the cross of Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, went freely there to lay down his life on the cross. And he was resurrected by the power of Almighty God. Yeah, the Lord Jesus Christ was erected.
That's the towel, right?
The towel. Well, I wouldn't be into the towel.
That is the towel.
Yeah, well, I see two fingers crossed. If you call that the towel, that's up to you.
So
but
what do you call a crucifix?
Well, a crucifix I call erroneous, because Jesus Christ isn't dead. Jesus Christ is risen.
I know Christ's not dead, but the proper name for a crucifix is towel. That's why we've got star signs. Oh,
is that what you call that towel? Is it? Okay.
Taurus.
Okay.
Can you do Taurus?
Yes, but I'm not talking about star signs here. No. I'm talking about the eternal God who made the heavens and the earth.
He made the heavens and the earth.
Yes, Jesus Christ, it says, by him all things were made, and without him was not anything made that was made.
So what being is the name he attached to?
Well, it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's talking about the eternal triune God.
Well, you've got two things.
Okay, I'm going to carry on because other people are listening too.
He is the name of...
So Jesus Christ is the second person of the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The eternal God, the God who before there ever was a universe, before there ever was a solar system, Jesus Christ was the eternal God, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. I'm just going to have to preach as best I can. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ.
So why does God let wrong-uns into this world?
I'm sorry, I don't know that word.
Pedophiles.
The Bible says there is a judgment. There is a judgment to come.
Interfere with 4-year-old kids.
Yes. So the Bible tells us. Okay. Pedophilia is sin. It's exceedingly wicked before Almighty God. And God will judge the pedophile. But not everybody here is a pedophile. But we are all sinners. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The truth is, every single one of us must stand before the judgment throne of Jesus Christ and give an account. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. He came into the world for liars. He came into the world for thieves. He came into the world for swearers. The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. I had nothing to do with the disappearance of Madeleine McCann. So I don't see why you're shouting at me. Now the Lord Jesus Christ will judge sinners, and it's not just murderers and paedophiles. Yes, God will judge murderers and paedophiles and cast them into hell for eternity, but it's liars and swearers and blasphemers, common or garden sinners like us, that God will cast into hell. These are the words of Jesus Christ. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And you see, in that respect, every single one of us is a hell's angel if we do not know Jesus Christ. The Bible shows us that our feet are set in slippery places. We are on the very edge of hell, fire and torment. Now imagine you were standing on the edge of an active volcano and your feet were set in slippery places. Well, that is what we are like. Our feet are set in slippery places. And we may soon fall into eternity, fall into hell, fall into the wrath to come, and stand before God on the day of his judgment. And Jesus Christ, who is the Saviour of the world, will judge us and say to you, "Can't depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." And that is why we need Jesus. Some of the people here are getting a bit frisky today. That is why we need Jesus, because he is the only one who has paid the penalty for sin. He is the only one who can deliver us from the wrath to come. He is the only one who can give us salvation. He is the only one who can give us everlasting life. Jesus Christ was crucified in the place of sinners. He became a curse in the place of sinners like you and me. He laid down his life and died in the place of sinners like you and me. His blood was shed for the remission of sins. His body was broken to take away our sins. Now the Lord Jesus Christ, once he was crucified, was laid in the grave, but death could not hold him. And he was resurrected by the power of Almighty God. And he is alive today. Now you may go into the hospitals here, or any hospital anywhere in the world, and there is no doctor, there is no treatment, there is no medication that can resurrect somebody from the dead. The Bible says after death comes judgment. But death could not hold Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ was righteous, because Jesus Christ was pure, because Jesus Christ was perfect, because he was holy, and he was raised by the power of God from the dead. That was a most extraordinary, most remarkable, most almighty miracle in New Testament times 2,000 years ago. And it is no less extraordinary and no less remarkable today. No one can resurrect somebody from the dead but God. And death could not hold Jesus Christ. God resurrected him from the dead. Now Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." If we know Jesus Christ, we have everlasting life. He has life in himself. He is able to give us life, everlasting life, because he has paid the penalty for sin. Now Jesus will say to those on his left hand, on the day of judgment, he will say, "Depart from me, cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." You see, hell is not a pleasant place. There's no partying in hell. There's no alcohol in hell. There's no dancing in hell. There's no music in hell. There's no friends in hell. There is only fiery torment and judgment and outer darkness, the Bible tells us. You see, every sin will receive its just recompense and reward. And even if we had only sinned once in our entire lives, one lie, one theft, one swear word, one proud thought, one lying word, even if we'd only sinned once, we would deserve an eternity in hell, because we would have shown the very corruption of our hearts, and we would have shown that we were not fit for God's heaven, and we would have shown that we had fallen short of his glory and his righteousness and his standards. We would have shown that we were worthy and fit only to be cast from his presence. Now, salvation in the Bible isn't by works. It's not something we could do. You and I cannot save ourselves. We cannot do that. We do not have it in ourselves. We do not have the ability. We do not have the strength to save ourselves, because we are lost and ruined in our sins. The only strength and the only power that can save us from our sins is the power of Almighty God found in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that if we confess our sins, He is just and faithful to forgive us our sins. And we must confess them through the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. I'm not talking about the Roman Catholic Mass. That wafer remains blood. That wafer remains bread. That wine remains wine. It doesn't change. The Mass is a blasphemous fable and a horrible and a wicked idolatry before Almighty God. The Roman Catholic Mass is not found in the Bible. It is a fabrication of popes and cardinals and councils. But when we speak about the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing from all sin, we are talking about faith in Jesus Christ. We are talking about believing on Him, looking to Him, fleeing to Him, coming to Him, obeying Him, seeking Him, finding Him, following Him. Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now Jesus said that He will say to those who do not know Him, Jesus the Son of God says, there are Muslims around, so I'll talk about the Son of God more. Jesus Christ the Son of God says to those who do not know Him and those that have not found Him, He says, then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. There is a wrath to come. There is a hell to come. Jesus said that the road that leads to destruction is broad, and there are many that find it. There is a motorway to hell. It's easy to get onto. The slip roads are everywhere, and we can get onto that road with consummate ease. To be on the broad road that leads to destruction, all we have to do is remain doing what we're doing, continuing in our sins, continuing in our unbelief, continuing without Jesus Christ, continuing without the knowledge of His salvation, continuing as we are. So you see, there is a broad road that leads to destruction. And if we do not know Jesus Christ, we are on that road. And all we need to do, I mean, we talk about self-driving cars, but all we need to do to stay on the road that leads to destruction, that leads to hellfire and torment, all we need to do is carry on. Carry on with what we're doing. Carry on in our pleasures. Carry on in our unbelief. Carry on in our vain religion. Carry on in our foolish distractions. Carry on in our godlessness, in our rebellion against God. Carry on in our darkness and hopelessness and godlessness. But Jesus also told us about a narrow way that leads to life. And of that way, Jesus said, there are few that find it. Most of us on the motorway that goes to hell. But there are a few, even today, who find the narrow way that leads to life. And Jesus said that we should strive to enter the narrow way. Because there is a narrow way. Think of this. In amongst the bushes, there is a path. The entrance to it is hard to find. But those who find it, and those who go on that path, as opposed to the motorway that goes to hell, find themselves on the path to life. Now Jesus said, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Jesus Christ is the way. Now if we try to go to heaven by any other way but by Jesus Christ, we will never leave the road that leads to hell. If we try any other name, if we try any other Saviour, so-called, because there is only one Saviour, there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. If we go any other way, if we try any other way, if we seek any other way, we will still be damned. Jesus Christ alone is the salvation that comes from God. Jesus Christ alone is the Saviour of the world. And Jesus Christ alone can wash away your sins in His blood and make you so clean that you can go to heaven, that you can stand before God, that the fear of wrath and the fear of judgment is taken right away from you, because Jesus Christ died to take us to heaven, to take us and to reconcile us to Almighty God. Now nobody else can do that. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And there is life in Jesus Christ. There is no life anywhere else. The Bible says in him is life, and the life was the light of men. So if we don't seek the life that comes from God through Jesus Christ, if we don't seek eternal life through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we cannot have life. We are still walking in darkness. We are still walking and fumbling around without the truth, without the eternal God, without the Saviour of the world, without the one who can deliver us. And Jesus Christ is that Saviour of the world. Now Jesus Christ alone, no, because without a sacrifice for sin, there is only one God, but there are three persons within the Godhead, God the Father. Jesus Christ is God, sir, he's the Son of God, and he is the Saviour of the world.
Washes away all our sins.
Yes.
So why is the problem of stumbling?
Because it's only by faith that we can be saved. So if we don't have faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus said, without faith you're already condemned. In other words, God's wrath is already against you. Unless you turn to Jesus Christ, unless you repent of your sin, you cannot be saved.
Yes, but there's a difference between sinning and repenting of your sin, isn't there? You know what I mean?
Yes, there is. Yes, yes, we all sin, but not everybody repents. Repents is saying to God, I acknowledge my sins before you. Yes. I hate my sins. I turn from my sins. And I plead with you, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner, and deliver me from the wrath to come.
Say, for example, someone did that, yeah?
Yes.
But then maybe slipped up a couple other times.
When you become a Christian, you don't become perfect. But when you are a Christian, when you know Jesus Christ, you are saved forever from your sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. In John's Gospel, chapter 13, in the Bible here, Jesus talks about Christians and he says that somebody who's had a bath only needs their feet washing because your feet get dusty. And he's saying that if we find Jesus Christ, we are saved forever and ever and ever. But even in this world, we still sin because we're not being perfected yet. And when we sin, the blood of Jesus Christ still covers us. So when I believed in Jesus Christ, and I've been a Christian for 40 years, my sin was forgiven forever then. In the last 40 years, I've done many bad things, but the Lord Jesus has had mercy on me and forgiven me.
So what happens to me then?
What happens to you?
Yeah.
Well, what's your situation?
Well, I did a lot of bad things, and I repented.
Yes.
And then I slipped up a couple of times.
Well, let me ask you, what did Jesus Christ do for you?
Fuck all.
Right, well, okay, that swearing is horrible sin, especially when you relate it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so you haven't truly found Jesus Christ. You need to seek him, you need to repent of your sins. Get into the Bible, get into the Word of God. Keep reading it and pray that God would open it up to you. Read about Jesus Christ, pray that God would show you. You haven't found him yet.
The Torah is basically just the First Testament.
Yeah, yeah, you haven't found Jesus Christ yet. You can spend your whole life reading the Bible, but the whole Bible is about finding Jesus Christ. So you need to
find him. Where is he?
He's in the Bible. He's here in the Bible. And it also says he's near at hand. So when you call on his name, and Jesus said, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart.
Okay.
You need to keep seeking him. You haven't found him yet.
Where is he?
Find him in the Bible. Read the Bible. Call out to him. It says he's near at hand. When we call on him, when we call on Jesus Christ, he hears us.
Right.
But you don't believe that yet.
No, I don't.
No, but you need to keep working on it.
Alright, man.
Okay. We're not saved by works, but we need to keep seeking him with all our hearts. So Jesus Christ is that Saviour. Where did I get this Bible from? I bought it from a Christian bookshop. You can get Bibles from Waterstones. You can get them online. But the Bible is the best of books, and it's not like any other book. Have you read it?
I don't need to read a Bible.
You do need to read the Bible, because you'll never... I haven't got a Bible to give away, sorry.
Give me yours.
I'm not, I can't, this one is really, really important and I can't give it away. You can get a Bible.
But am I not important?
You are important, but if you want a Bible, you will go and get one. You'll go and get one. I have got to keep this Bible. Unfortunately, I would have been happy to give you a testament. My testaments are all locked up in a warehouse, but...
bring me a Bible next time.
Go and find one for yourself and show that you're serious. You see, you can buy a Bible just now from Waterstones, and you can too.
I don't want to buy this, any Bible.
This book, so what value would you set on your soul to get out of hell? You see, there were people who died to get this book. There were people who gave everything they had to get this book. But today people won't spend £5 on a Bible because they don't want to spend £5 on the Word of God. The thing that gives them... The thing that can give you... Well, okay, on the Day of Judgment, God will say, why didn't you buy a Bible? And he will bring to mind your words, but you haven't read it.
Yeah, 'cause it's shit.
This book is the book of books. It's the Word of God. And to speak of the Bible like that is exceedingly offensive to Almighty God. And you'll have to answer for that. Why am I reading the Bible? Because it is the Word of God, and it's able to make us wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. This book makes us wise unto salvation. You should sell everything you have and buy a Bible. You should be willing to cross the world to get a Bible, because it's the Word of God. And without this knowledge of this book, without the knowledge of what's in it, you will never find what's in it. And without the knowledge of God's salvation, you will perish in your sins and go to hell for eternity. And you couldn't care less, because you wouldn't spend £5 to save your soul. Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? You go back and you want fame. You want fame. Oh, you want money. Oh, yes, you want money. Oh, you like riches. Oh, you like lands, and you like power. Everybody would like those. But you haven't valued your soul at all. You've set a value of zero on it. You wouldn't lift a finger to seek the salvation which comes from God. Now, Jesus said that there's treasure in heaven. Treasure in heaven. And he said that we should labour to store up treasure that's in heaven. And you want treasure in this world, this treasure's going to pass away. No, reincarnation is nonsense. The Bible says that after death comes judgment. And this is why I'm reading this. Jesus said that he will say to them, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And that's in loving mercy. That's to warn you that there is a wrath to come. And it's to warn you there is no reincarnation, but there is judgment. And we must be ready for that judgment. And only Jesus Christ, as we find him in the Bible, in the Word of God, only Jesus Christ can make us ready for that judgment. And you'll die as well. We'll all die. And we could die today. Putin could decide at any second that the only way out of his quagmire in Ukraine is to launch a nuclear missile against Hull. And you would never see it coming. You see, and God holds our breath in his hands. Any one of us could die. Any one of us could die at any time. And furthermore, the Lord Jesus Christ could return at any time. Because the Bible teaches us, no, after death there is a resurrection. There is a resurrection of the dead. There is a resurrection to the godly, to everlasting life. And there is a resurrection of the ungodly, to everlasting torment in hell fire. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, your resurrection will be to everlasting torment in hell fire. And there are no second chances. If you reject Jesus Christ in this world, if you reject him today, then he may never give you another chance. But certainly, once we have died and we have gone to hell, there is never any escape from that. But if we will receive Jesus Christ, if we find Jesus Christ, if we seek Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is alive today, if we seek Jesus Christ, if we seek Jesus Christ and we find him, then we have the salvation of God. We have everlasting life. We have that resurrection life. The same power, the power of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is at work in every one of his people, every true Christian. This is Christianity. This is what we've forgotten in this nation. I'm connected with a number of different churches. But this is the key thing. It's not going to church that saves us. It's going to Jesus Christ that saves us. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who saves us from our sin. Hello. Bless you. Where are you from?
From Congo.
From where, sorry?
Congo.
Congo.
Yeah.
Great pleasure to meet you, brother. Thank you so much for standing and listening. God be with you. Thank you. I'll keep going. Thank you very much, my brother. God bless. Friend from Congo. See, he's a Christian from Congo. God has his people in the Congo. He has his people in the United Kingdom. Well, I don't mind. I really don't care. I really don't care if people think I'm weird. As long as I can preach this gospel. You know, if you didn't hear this gospel, there would be no hope for you. But if you hear this gospel, there's hope for you that you might find him. That you might ask Jesus to be your saviour. You might ask Jesus Christ to be your saviour. That you might seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Perchance you might find the Lord Jesus Christ to be your saviour. So Jesus Christ is the saviour of the world. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can deliver us. And what we find in the Bible is that this book is able to make us wise unto salvation, which is through faith in Jesus Christ. And when we find Jesus Christ, we find that life. You see, in this Gospel of Matthew chapter 25, not only do we find Jesus Christ saying to the ungodly and sinners, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, assuring us that there is a wrath to come, assuring us that there is a hell to come, assuring us of the certainty of being cast into hell fire for eternity if we do not repent and we do not believe and we do not find Jesus Christ to be our Saviour from sin. But Jesus Christ says also that this is what he will say to those he calls sheep, those who know him, those who are saved, those who are washed in his blood, those who have faith in him, those whom God has redeemed, those whom God has drawn to himself with the bands of love. Jesus says, then shall the King, as Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords, say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And what glorious words these are. There is a kingdom that God has prepared from the foundation of the world for his people, for those who know Jesus Christ, for Christians who are trusting Jesus Christ alone, who know him, who love him, who are forgiven by him, who are saved by his precious blood. And we must decide who we will serve. And we must decide who we will follow. Now remember this. You can't remember this because you don't have a Bible. But if you did, you would remember this. That Jesus said to the unbelieving Jews of his day, you are of your father the devil. And the same is true of you. If Jesus Christ isn't your saviour, you are of your father the devil. That's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus says. No, we need to turn from our sins and we need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that we might find the salvation of God and find everlasting life. Eternal God, thank you for this opportunity to preach your word. I come in weakness, but I pray that you take the word and apply it to the hearts of these two girls on the left of me, that I pray that they would come under conviction of sin, Lord. And I pray, Heavenly Father, I was so grievous to hear such words from some young people, Lord. But I pray, Father, that those who heard today would come under conviction, that you'd have mercy upon the town of Hull, you'd pour out your Holy Spirit on this city, and there would be great weeping and mourning and lamenting over sin instead of brazen blaspheming of your name and your word. Father, I pray that these girls would find mercy. I pray that they would find your salvation. I pray that they'd find Jesus Christ. Father, I also pray that you bless that brother from Congo, Lord. Bless him and encourage him and strengthen him. Oh, Lord, have mercy upon us, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen.